with y'all this afternoon. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to be attempting to look at verses 16 through 26. So Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16. It says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when they had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." So it kind of struck me. We've been going through Mark with our Bible study, and as I kind of knew this was going to be coming up, and was trying to get some thoughts together on what to what to speak on. It kind of stuck out to me that in this section we have two responses to Christ. We've got the response of the apostles, and immediately after we have the response of the man with the unclean spirit. And it just kind of struck me how close those two were. And so what I'd like to attempt to do is just break down those two responses and some of the details from them and see, how we can kind of apply that, how some of it does apply to us. So first I want to take a look at the response of the apostles here. We've got Christ calling some of the more well-known apostles. We've got Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Those are some of Peter and John, especially were some of the bigger, more well-known apostles that we, everybody knows Peter, and we also know John as the one that got Christ loved. I did want to take a look at, just to give us, Mark is one of the more brief accountings of this. I did want to take a look at Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. Just kind of fill in some of the details and get Matthew's account of this same event. Matthew 4. We're going to start reading in verse 18. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on thence, he saw the two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and the ship with Zebedee and the father mending their nets, and called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." And the reason it seems a little bit more verbatim here, but the reason I wanted to go to this is one of the words that stuck out to me here is the word immediately. Looking at that word and that phrase, it's got several different meanings, but some of them are they forsook, they omitted, or they put away. It was an immediate change and leaving their father in the boat and going after Christ. That was their, just the immediate response of forsaking everything that they had known, their father, their job, and going straightway after Christ immediately. You know, so that just really kind of stuck out as, you know, the call of Christ should have an effect on us of immediate turning and an immediate running to Him. You know, another example of that, if we'll turn in Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. And this is Jesus speaking to the scribe about what it would take to follow Him. Starting in verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of the disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. So one of the things I wanted to kind of point out from all of these situations is, you know, Christ is not calling us to live in complete isolation here. That's not, you know, forsake everything, your whole family and, you know, go live in isolation for me. If that were the case, we'd all be monks and nuns, and that's not the case. The point that he's really trying to drive home, and I feel like is laid out in all of these passages that we're looking at, is he must be the preeminent thing and the top priority, and all other things, whatever we have in our life that gets in the way of that should be immediately, we should be willing to immediately lay that at the feet of Christ and forsake it. I didn't know about Josh getting baptized this morning, but it kind of struck me as we were going through that, the action of that. And I couldn't help but thinking just, you know, the things that, you know, when we're converted, the amount of things that we have to put away, that were stumbling blocks to us. You know, it could be the friends that we had. It could be the certain places that we can no longer go, the certain things we can no longer see or be around. You know, we've all got those things that were thorns in the flesh that we had to put away. And that's a continual habit. It's a continual, this is getting in the way of my relationship with Christ. I think of the verse, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better to enter into the kingdom of heaven maimed than with thine eye. It seems drastic. It seems, it seems like it's extreme, but that is what Christ has called us to, is to, immediately be willing to give up those things for Him. And we should be happy to get, to do that. I think about so many people, does our love of Christ affect all of our decisions? Does it affect where we work? Does it affect who we marry? Does it affect, does it permeate through our life? And that's what he's driving home here in these passages is it is the love of Christ is a permeating response to Him. I mean, it touches every part of our life or should touch every part of our life. And affects our decisions or, all of our choices, or should. last passage I'd like to turn to in looking at this is going to be, Matthew 16, 24 through 26. This will be a passage that most of you are pretty familiar with. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what a man, what is is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And again, just driving home that point of Christ being the paramount thing. All other things that we hold on to is, you know, if it's costing us our soul, if we're looking at it as far as a trade, it's a very unfair trade. So again, Christ should be the, you know, our following of Christ should be should permeate all of our decisions and change the way that we look at things. And again, the choices that we make, we should take up our cross daily and follow after Him. Next, if we'll go back to Mark, we're going to take a look at the response of the unclean, the man with the unclean spirit. And one of my first takeaways in verse 24, when this man saw Christ, he said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" And, the immediate response is just, "Leave me alone. I have nothing to do with you." And that was, you know, that was pretty chilling. I thought about, well, of course that would be a demon's response. You know, we can kind of write that off. And, those of y'all that know me, I'm not much of a news buff. I actually really hate watching the news. If I walk into a room, the second someone turns on the news, if they leave, I'm going to cut it off. Just because I'd rather not dwell on it. But, at work, my boss up there turned on Fox News, and I was kind of thinking through all of this, and he had a lady on there that was yelling about, Roe versus Wade being, overturned, and was calling out Christians by name, saying, "Y'all ruined this, you know, y'all are taking away what we deserve." And I thought, that is a direct parallel to what the man with this unclean spirit is saying is, "Leave me alone. I will have nothing to do with you." you know, we think of that as a horrifying response, but yeah, that response lives in our own heart. And every single one of us, that's our fleshly response is, you know, Brother Lewis references this, very often, but in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God or no God. As he broke down when we went through that Psalm, you know, the fool will say, there is no God. I will not know God. No. Now us that know better, we tend to gloss that up a little bit. We won't fully admit it that's kind of a response that we can have. But there are certain areas, the sins that we tend to hold on to, is that not our response of, we know this is wrong, we know that this is not what I should be doing, but God, you can have the rest of my life, but this one area, no, I choose this. You know, that's a sobering reality of, we respond like this man with the unclean spirit. Instead of letting the word of Christ or the word of God permeate all of our choices and all of our decisions and casting these things at the feet of Him, we say, well, I'll cast these things, but I'll hold back some, you know, this and this. And that ought not to be. I'd also like to turn to, while thinking of this, and kind of thinking in terms of that, turn to Mark 15, starting in verse 6. This is the story of when Christ is brought before Pilate, the children of Israel's response there. Mark 15, verse 6. "Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner whomever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder and the insurrection. And the multitude cried aloud and began to desire him to do as he had ever done to unto them. And Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. And the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will ye then that I shall do with him that ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out, Crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, What evil hath he done? And they cried out even more exceedingly, Crucify him. So, again, this passage here, you've got these people would rather have Barabbas released unto them than to be anywhere associated with Christ. He was considered the King of the Jews. And Barabbas, one thing I never noticed about this passage was he had led insurrection, so he had led a violent mob. All of us remember the riots and things that happened a year or so back, and just how abhorring, how terrible those things looked. This man was the leader of a violent mob. And we would all say, well, anybody that leads a mob like that, that murders people, and, you know, they deserve to be punished. Well, the Jews would rather have that man set free than to submit, you know, to have anything to do with Christ. Again, we can see how the mind of that, the response of that unclean spirit is not so foreign. It's the response of the flesh. You know, we can kind of, make that kind of the fairy tale of, well, that, you know, that's just because he's a demon. No, brothers and sisters, that's in every single one of us. And if we think otherwise, we're very foolish. So, you know, and I think for each one of us, you know, we can, you know, you think of the passage that the demons, you know, you believe in God, so do the demons, and they fear and tremble. It is a, while we, you know, we see someone getting baptized and we think of, you know, Christ saving and the wonder, the miraculous work of redemption and, you know, God is also a very serious God that takes sin seriously. If we're made in the image of Him, we should also take these things seriously. And again, just searching our own hearts, thinking what is standing in the way of my relationship with Christ. You know, what are the things that hold me back? And we should be willing to give up those things. Kind of in closing, just, what is our response? Are we striving to bring all under the subjection of Christ? Or do we say, you're not going to rule this one area of my life? We know that sin is an open rebellion to God, and to hold of it is, that's to hold on to our personal sins is no better than the response of that demon there. So may God bless us that we would strive to be more in subjection to Christ, that we would be more prepared to throw all at His feet and say, this is, you are worth more than this. And may we, strive to rid ourselves of the, of our flesh, that devilish response that we're all capable of. So hope that's made some sense. And hope it's a blessing to y'all.
Appreciate that good exhortation, Caleb, and may the Lord bless us to be mindful and aware of our response to the Lord on a daily basis as we interact with His Word, as we are challenged, as we are convicted, as we really are just brought to those points of decision in life. May we despite the response that would say, I will have nothing to do with you. So, may God bless us in that. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we do confess that we have, and by nature we would always respond in such a way that we would distance ourselves from you and from your authority and from your commands. But Lord, in your grace and in your kindness, you have drawn us to yourself. You have opened our eyes, you've opened our ears, and you have blessed us to see your beauty through the person of Jesus Christ. We do confess still that it's a struggle, and so I pray that you would bless us to be aware and that you would bless us to be intentional about pursuing obedience to you through the power of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.